You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm one of the co-hosts of this wonderful podcast, and joining me for our weekly show, a man who is not sitting out the month of July, August, and September, Mr. Tony East. Tony, how you doing?
That's very topical given our topic today.
Was it in poor taste? I thought it might be a little in poor
taste. Well, it feels wrong because it sounds like a jab, but it's not a jab.
No, it's not a jab.
Not a jab. I'm doing great, Adam. I had a very nice long weekend. I distanced myself from people, but still got to watch fireworks. I had a great time.
Oh, you know what would have been another good one? A man who did not blow up his hand during shooting fireworks like a certain Giants player back in the day.
Oh, yes. That was funny and sad.
No, yeah, it was sad more than funny. I mean, it's funny in the sense that, like,
it was way more sad than funny, but those
are... Yeah, it's a horror show. People like to laugh at horror shows.
Anyway, there's big Pacers news relating to the thing you just asked me about.
Yeah, so I think that's what we'll start. So Vic is not going to play in the Orlando games. He's going to travel with the team. But it sounds...
Listen to Friday's show. Adam was all over the initial reaction coverage, by the way, just plugging our own show.
Yeah, but we'll talk about some more because I want to get your thoughts on it. And then some of my ideas I want to throw off you. So
okay. I love it.
I think that's the way to start. I mean, the first reaction I have to it is, one, do you think he had a setback? Because because we don't really know, right? We wouldn't know. There's no media availability. He's been off for 4.5 months now.
He just spoke like last week, and he's doing awesome. And yeah, the videos that they sent us from practice also concur with what he said.
Yeah, but do we know he didn't maybe have a minor setback in April? I mean,
I cannot confirm that.
Right. I mean, and it's not uncommon for a guy. Like, I mean, he already had a semi setback in late February when he.
I kind of doubt it. I think that's something that would have been leaked out, actually. But
you think so? I mean, but remember who would leak it out? There's not like a ton of people now all gathered together, right? There's not a lot of like. Isn't like this.
Vic is very clearly tight with Shams. I think Shams would have got that information.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. The other thought I had was, then if you don't think it was that, do you think it's simply as he just isn't able to get in the conditioning shape he feels comfortable with?
He's worried about getting injured because he's in a contract year next year. I really think that's all it is.
Yeah, but I guess what makes this more of an injury risk is just because he's not been playing for 4 months? I mean, that's what I mean.
You should read – I didn't send this to you. You should read this article that was informed by Sean Devini. He spoke with a doctor who either worked for the NBA or consulted for the NBA back in 2011, right, for the lockout season. And this guy – I think his name's – I don't have his name in front of me. It's Tim Vuet or something like that. He said in 2011, like, to the NBA, look, because remember, they signed the new CBA, and then they jumped back into games, like, a month and a half later or something, less than that. And he was like, there's going to be more injuries because guys need to slowly, gradually ramp up to speed or they're going to get hurt more. There's going to be a lot more injuries. Lo and behold, there's, like, 4 times more ACL tears and things like that season because of that exact reason. So the same doctor is saying now that this environment is very similar to that and that the quick ramp up to game speed with very few opportunities to play 5-on-5 and scrimmage and stuff like that to get into that kind of shape, that is the danger that they're rubbing against. And so for Vic, who's been researching how this could impact – I forget exactly what his statement said, but he personally was researching how this could impact his muscles, his tendons, things like that. I think that is what basically his entire driving factor is. He looks at the risk of re-injury and he says, well, even though he's already in Indiana starting working out late June, he can't play 5-on-5 until July 15th, probably. I mean, they get there the 9th, they have to quarantine for a little bit. And then who even knows if they're going to be allowed to play 5-on-5 right after that. So going straight into games 2 weeks after that, I think that's a huge risk for him, especially coming off an injury and with the contract coming up. And that is, I think, the entirety of why he's choosing to sit out.
Yeah.
That was a lot of words.
No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, the problem I have the only thought with that, I guess he'll be able to practice 5-on-5 for the next, like, 4 months. That's the hope. But
the bubble, I think it'll be much more easy.
I mean, I don't know, though. I actually don't know about that. We'll see what happens. I mean, right, because after the bubble, they're going to go back to being kind of not isolated, so maybe there's some more rules again, so there's not some, like, weird spread among all the, a bunch of teammates.
Tim Hewitt, sorry, I want to make sure I get that doctor.
But the question that brings up first of mine is maybe, should he have even played this season, I mean, to begin with? I mean, Right, I thought the whole point of him coming back was to sort of play himself into kind of game shape.
He had the gradual ramp up when he returned. I think that's why he did it.
Yeah, like, I guess my thought is could you gradually like ramp back up?
Because he was practicing with the Maddens and stuff in like October and November. Like he had a lot of time.
That's true.
To go from rehabbing to into shape to game speed to practicing 5-on-5 to actually playing. Or that he does not have this time.
So
I remember it was like they had Mad Ants night, like or not Mad Ants, I forget. They had a Mad Ants practice in the, like right before the season. And
I thought it was more like November when he started with the Mad Ants, late
that's
November.
That's fine. It was still though. That's 2.5-3 months basically. Like that's way longer than 2 weeks.
I guess what I'm wondering is there's like no obligation he has to play 25 minutes, and maybe he can't not like if he's gonna be out there, he doesn't want to be out there if he's not his best. But like he could play 10 minutes a night just to get into, you know what I mean?
That's AP did say they had a plan in place for him if he did decide to play.
Right.
I mean that meant they worked with him, stuff like that. But
because
I just think he said, look, I'm really worried about getting re-injured, I'll be better next year. And they're like, that's fine, whatever.
I guess the only thing I worry about, and this is why I mean I think the one comparison I can have is right now is the PG injury, right? He came back and played like 6 games. He got really hurt. Wouldn't have played in the playoffs. They made it that year, whatever. He hurt his calf, I think.
Yep.
But I do think it was critical for him to play those 6 games because it sort of helped get his legs back on them. Because the next thing he came back and he was probably as good as he was before the injury. I mean,
they played those 13 games, so maybe we can use
right. Maybe that's enough. I guess my concern was what we saw from him. Like when PG returned, we saw some of the same player. Obviously, it was a little bit muted. But like I'm concerned that he needs to get through the level he needs to get to. He needs to play games, and I just think there was an opportunity here to play games. But I understand why he's not playing. I mean,
right?
Everything you said, it's a contract year for him next year. I mean, if he got hurt in these games, he's basically looking at probably never. I mean, he's looking at $100+ million contract, assuming whatever the cap is, but probably around $100 million, if not more, for next year. At least if next year, if he plays 50 good games, so it's just guaranteeing that whether he even reaches his peak level again. But if he puts up 17-6 next year. In 28 minutes, well, he's getting $100 million.
Even beyond injury for his contract stuff to me, like, say he comes – now it's been, like, 6+ a year, like, 18 to 19 months. If he comes out and is still looking not 100%, like teams are going to be like, dude, you've had 19 months to rehab and you're not 100%. Like, that would also probably be alarming for his next contract, too.
Almost be two years by the time the season starts again. Actually, it starts in December.
So I also get it from that perspective of, like, He has incredibly little to gain by playing.
Yeah, no, and the thing is, the team is not any – like, it's different. It'd be different, I think, if this was a two-seeded Pacer team that had a shot.
Right, that too. Caitlin tweeted that, and I even considered that. That's a great point.
No, I mean, that's what I think it all comes down to. If this team had a legit shot to even, let's say, compete for the Eastern Conference Championship, whatever you want to call it, he would probably be playing. But I think if we're being realistic, their best-case scenario is win a first-round series. They can probably still do. Not saying they're going to, but they could still win a first-round series even with the team they have now. It'll be much harder, but they can. But, like, they weren't going to make
– I don't know if it'll be much harder.
I think it'll be a little bit – I mean,
but I don't know about much
losing some depth. Remember, they don't have Lamb this time, so it's going to be a little
harder.
Right. We'll talk about
it. It's definitely a little harder. I will not deny that. I think their ceiling is way lower, but I don't know.
No, I mean, we'll
pretty good without Vic this year.
We'll do the rotation in a minute, and we can talk about that. Some, but I think ultimately that's what it comes down to, the fact that this team really isn't competing for anything right now. The thing I worry about the most is that this continues just to push the Pacers timeline more and more. You know, the big thing with the Pacers, right, is the Sabonis Turner thing. It's, is it workable or is it not?
Yep.
Right. And the more you don't have the like five guys that you're kind of building around playing together, the longer you have to decide on that. So now they might not make it just on that till, let's say, trade down the next year's March. Right. I mean, let's say it gets pushed back because they start in December, whatever the trade down ends up being. Right, we're talking about maybe basically March of next year before they can think about making a move. I mean, and so that's the only thing that's kind of frustrating. But I'm not sure they would have gotten a ton anyways, considering if he was going to play, he probably was going to play more than 15 minutes a game. Anyways.
Right. Yeah, if they can get him to re-sign an extension or after he's a free agent, then timeline is still extended. They have everyone else basically locked up forever. But if so not, you know, that they have to really look at their bonus stuff too.
That's kind of the last part I thought. Do you think he maybe rethink signing an extension for the Pacers just to guarantee them?
I get that the Heat report came out like last month and the Heat had every reason to do that when they did. But other than the timing being kind of close, like I see very little correlation between Vic saying, I want to be really good next year so I can make a lot of money and I want to potentially sign somewhere else.
Well,
of course, I think it impacts his money And I think it's smart of him to think that way, but I don't think it necessarily indicates anything more or less likely of staying with the Pacers. I'm still exactly where I was beforehand, if that is what you're asking.
So what's the deal he can sign right now with the Pacers? What's the most he can sign?
The extension, you mean?
125% of his current
salary. As soon as the season's over, he can sign a deal from up to 4 years and up to a total of $113 million.
Is that under – so that's before they redo the salary cap, right?
No, that's based off just raises from his current deal.
Right, so four for 113, so, right?
Even if the cap falls to what, I don't know, something ridiculously low, he could still get up to 4 years, up to 113.
So I do wonder if he might take that offer because
– I do too.
Because the cap's going to be –
honestly, pretty close.
Because, right, I mean, before he was looking at probably, what, 5-190? Is that the max?
Yeah. Oh, he – dude, guys who make All-NBA max, done. That's it. So, yeah, he was definitely at that level before the injury.
But I think with the salary cap, the cap goes down, let's say, 20%. Is that generous? Is that a fair number?
Yeah.
15%, 20, 15, 20%, right? So 20% of 190 gets you down to, like, 150 right away. So really not – you know, talking maybe a $30 million difference is a lot of money, but when you're getting – over nine figures, I think each dollar is diminishing in some sense.
Yeah,
so I wonder if he does sign some 4 year, or maybe even he takes a 2 year extension just to get some guaranteed money on his belt and hit.
The problem with his extensions is I think it has to be the maximum length just because of his age. He's 29. Like,
yeah, right. He's probably not going to hit another big contract unless he's going to have a Chris Paul.
I think if anything shy of 4 years, 100, he's just going to say, nope, no way. So if they do think extension next season, it's got to be 4 for 113.
Which I think he could take. That's interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Wonder if they're offered to him, right? Didn't that put him in the tax possibly?
Yeah, you have to, because the 4 for 80 was clearly like if you think you're not going to be good anymore. Now they've seen him play. Are they more confident he'll be good going forward? They've seen him in practice, stuff like that. Does that encourage them to offer the max extension they could possibly offer? I want to say, no one quote me on that 4 for 113. That was a shuffle of a Bobby Marks tweet. I want to make sure I have those facts in 100% order before I stop them all the time. But Bobby Marks worked for the Nets front office.
I'll make sure title podcast. Tony says Bick is ample.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we want to talk about the rotation a little bit. So let's do one quick break and then we'll talk about the implications of Vic not playing and how that affects the rotation. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com right now. You can shop for any auto or body part from hundreds of manufacturers. Everything from engine control modules and brake pads to tail lamps, motor oils, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same part? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. All right, so I think Vic not playing has huge implications on the rotation because all of a sudden we're now talking about Aaron Holiday playing significant minutes and even Edmund Sumner.
Adam, right? I'm going to zoom out for two things here. One, you'll notice we didn't talk about Built Bar. Well, that's because they literally sold out of inventory because so many people were buying Built Bar. So we're not talking on our butts about how great those things are. People are buying them like crazy. But two, Vic in the rotation here is the first of our many segments on we're going to look at every player in the NBA who's sitting out so far in Orlando and talk about how it impacts the Pacers. Obviously, Vic's is the biggest one because there's a lot that impacts the Pacers, including the rotation. So we're going to start there. And I agree with you. Aaron Holiday is the place to start. If you'll recall, I believe 4 of the Pacers' last 5, all the Pacers, and he started every game for the Pacers in the month of March because, you know, Brogdon missed a few of those and Vic missed a few of those, and they never overlapped. So I think he's clearly the biggest beneficiary from this, right?
By far. I mean, he was looking at being on the outside of the rotation to actually probably being a really
– starter.
Yeah.
Almost certainly a starter, right?
Yeah. Well, is he a – well, see, that's what I want to remember. There was that stretch – when Lamb got hurt originally, like he didn't get, remember Lamb missed a few games where they actually started Sumner, right? And then Sumner broke his hand.
No, Sumner never started, did he?
I want to say, hold on, I'm trying to remember.
Early in the season, they were really into Sumner, but I don't think Sumner.
Well, then Sumner broke his hand like immediately after he started playing minutes at one point too.
When did
Sumner started 2 games this season? And yeah, it might have been
second and third game.
Which might have, with Lamb hurt by then? I thought, didn't Lamb hurt himself the first game of the season?
Yes, he did.
So I think that's what I remember, right? He immediately, but then he broke his hand by the second game, the third game.
Yeah, they really were leaning into Sumner minutes like very early in the year, like above Aaron, I remember. But then they realized Aaron actually worked pretty well as an off-ball guard and that stuff. But I think it'll be Aaron just because, I mean, he has a lot of starts. Like in the year 2020, which is a stupid like time to do a cutoff for like a player, but he started 12 games in the year 2020 out of the Pacers, I think 26. So then that's pretty good. And I mean, I think he fits well with Brogdon, as in they can both play kind of on the ball and off the ball at the same time. And something McMillan is huge on is keeping together the Sabonis, McConnell, McDermott, Justin Holiday group.
Actually, I was saying, you know, think Justin Holiday starts by chance?
I mean, I kind of doubt it because of that bench unit. I guess it's pop. So who are the options to start, right? It would just be Aaron, Justin Holiday, and Sumner to you, right? There's no way it's McDermott or McConnell, right? You can roll them out.
I mean, I guess you could put Warren at the guard, but I don't – and McConnell starting to make no sense, so yes.
No sense. I agree. I think the only options are the Holiday brothers and Sumner, and I even think because of the way they really value that second unit that Justin Holiday's probably no.
Well, so the thing I would say, too, in the playoffs, you shrink the rotation down to five – maybe not five, well, sorry, but, seven or eight
the
guys.
The Pacers are also considering not doing that. Remember, the Indies – Jay Michael reported that they're just like all health all the time, 10-man rotation. I mean, I don't know if they're going to do that in the playoffs.
Yeah, when you get into a playoffs, I see that in a playoff series. I mean, that means you're playing Goga minutes, right? Now you get to get down to 10.
He would be the 10th guy. Yep. Right? Yeah, Goga is not ready for the playoffs. I agree with you.
I mean,
that will really be telling how much they're trying to win a series. If Goga plays in the playoffs, they're not trying.
Am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong. Isn't Nate Millen's probably like job on the line if you can't win a playoff series?
Nope.
You don't think so anymore now that Vic's not
playing? Well, according to Jay Michael's reporting, their goals of totally going for a play. I mean, they're going to try to win. They're not going to like punt, but like the team's like maybe not rigid, but the team's goal of winning a playoff series is totally on the wayside. Now it's health, get out alive. So no, I do not think McMillan.
So he's heading into the last year of his deal though, right?
Yes, that is true. I don't think he can get fired if this is a disaster.
No, but I don't think he's getting extension. I think if they
I totally agree series, with you.
He's not going to go to a lame duck here, right?
Unless they go like 7-1 and make the Eastern Conference Finals. No, I did not think he gets an extension.
So wait, real quick, isn't D'Antoni right now on a lame duck year or not? Right?
Yeah, I feel like Mike D'Antoni's probably done coaching, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right. I mean, he's
anyway. This is separate from the rotation and thing. No, I think Nate's job is safe, but yeah, I think McMillan's philosophy of the bench still holds weight regardless of his job status or anything like that. So I would guess that Aaron Holiday is the starter. I can see the argument for Sumner though. Like I personally like him more and think he's better. And I would love to see him with the starters to see what he can do in that setting. And he's very, very good defender, can try at least to guard better players, but I think it's going to end up being Aaron.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I just wonder at some point you get to the playoffs, it becomes Justin. I mean, it might not even matter. It might be Aaron for 5 minutes.
Sure, when the rotation shrinks, I mean, he won't go down to eight, will he? Because then he'd be cut. I guess Sumner could not play in the playoffs. And they'd go
yeah, I think eight's very possible. I mean,
that actually is possible.
So,
that being so cavalier about that.
No, but that leads to my next question. Do you think Justin Holiday ends up playing like 30 minutes, 32 minutes a game?
No way. No way.
He doesn't want to play that, right? He wants to get out like alive.
I don't think the Pacers want anyone to play 30 minutes a game either.
Well, they're going to have to play nine guys. So there's no way I think to make 30.
They can easily play nine guys under 30 minutes, though.
Yeah, yeah. But eight, you get to eight, I think it's becomes harder. Eight,
it's very close.
But Sabonis is playing like 30-something minutes a game already.
What's 5 times 48?
5 times 48? Hold on, I can do this real fast.
5 times 48 divided by 8. Is it even possible? No, that'd be exactly 30 minutes 30. Per player.
But I guess that's not really possible.
With the centers and stuff. Anyway.
Yeah.
In the regular season, I imagine, I don't think anyone's playing more than 30 minutes because Goga's going to play in those 8 games. But, yeah, in the playoffs, I guess it's different. Either way, they would just cut out whichever backup guard doesn't play. And it may, you know, maybe if Sumner's way better than Aaron in the 8 games, then Sumner starts and Aaron doesn't play. But, I mean, I think it's just Aaron's job to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, though, they're going to close with Justin Holiday.
Oh, definitely.
100%. Unless Aaron Holiday hits one of those hot, you know, he does occasionally get super hot in games and they just kind of play in the other games, like go back to Toronto and the Miami games. But,
I bet they close, heck, because they close small a lot, right, with one of the two centers, I bet they close with Justin and maybe Doug or something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was thinking they close with McConnell, Holiday, Warren. Well,
no, Brogdon.
Brogdon.
Right, even with Brogdon's struggles he's had during the season, he's been very good in the clutch.
Yeah, no. I'm thinking Brogdon, both Holidays, Warren, and Sabonis. Right? That's possible.
Possible. So we'll see. I do agree with you, Justin Holiday, almost for sure in the closing lineup. But, yeah, I think – and we're talking about Holiday Sumner as the starter. The push of the rotation then is the backup shooting guard, because when Vic returned, they had Lamb for, what, 3 games, right? So they've never had a hole this large at shooting guard the whole season. Now they have 2 open spots. So – they're both, Aaron and Sumner are both going to play regardless of who starts, because the other one that doesn't start will be on the second unit with the group that, you know, the McConnell, McDermott, Holiday, Sabonis group will be flanked with either Sumner or Aaron, most likely Sumner to me, but and then Gogol will sprinkle his way into that group as well. But I think Sumner will be a part of that group for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think Sumner will play minutes in the rest of the regular season for sure.
I bet he gets like 20 minutes a game.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be good for both the rookies.
This is great for the Pacers' development. Wow. Kalen Cooper just wrote a great article about the young players on the team, including – it was all the first and second year guys, including like Alize, Goga, Brian Bowen. It was really good.
Yeah.
These guys – it's a good opportunity for these guys to hit the floor. And if they're really expanding the rotation, like let's say they're resting guys on back-to-backs and stuff, like the very next guys, like you could see maybe Alize get a game of burn, or – you know, Nazmi Trulong even, or Brian Bowen getting into the guard rotations, because they just want to be healthy and get guys in there.
So let's do it real quick. So let's say the starting five, Aaron Holiday hops in. I mean, how many minutes are we talking for everybody?
30.
You think 30 on the dot? I mean, you don't think
Sabonis was 30 as a maximum.
You don't think Sabonis is going to play more than 30? He played 35.
Definitely not. I do not think he's playing more than 30.
So you think their whole They don't even want to play in these games. Basically, the Pacers don't
want to. I don't think any team in the NBA really is dying to play hard in these games.
You don't think like the Lakers and Bucks
are? For sure, a very common theme amongst teams is just get in, get out.
So why the – I mean, why the –
you know exactly why they're playing, Adam. Cash money.
You don't think like the Lakers or Clippers or Bucks care?
Yes, the top 2 teams from each conference will try to win.
So, We'll move on to
players sitting out. This is all opinion. Although we do have reporting.
It's always all opinion, Tony.
I know, but well, whatever. It's just my opinion. That's how it goes. But we do have reporting that the Pacers are going to value health and the 10-man rotation. That's why I think 30 is like not a hard thing, but I think they're going to monitor all that. You know, like Vic's reasoning for sitting out is at risk of re-injury. That applies to everyone. It's more important for Vic because of his giant injury last year, but. I mean, anyone could get hurt. So I think they're going to try to keep I think legit every team in the league, especially in the regular season games, is going to try to keep minutes down.
Yeah. I mean, so do you think these games are mainly going to suck to the conference finals? I mean, not to be like a downer real fast, but.
Before the playoffs, I think most of the regular season games will be bad, yes.
Right. And the first round might be garbage too, but second.
Yeah. And they haven't played in forever. Like, they're just going to shoot worse. Like, it's going to be worse.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be a very weird basketball.
Well, the thing is. Like, is the quality of a basketball game to you that teams are just, like, running perfectly and canning shots, or that it's a close game? Because, like, it feels like, to me, most teams will be impacted by the same amount of suck. So they'll still be close games. They'll just be, like, worse.
The quality of a game to me is if it's, let's say, 90 all in the last 5 minutes, the team don't just score 2 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like the Knicks game from this year.
Yeah, like that kind of – like to me, the quality of a game is there some kind of back and forth or some kind of like
– Right, I agree.
Going on. Either for a player – like a team could literally blow a team out, but it could be special because it's a net and somebody scores 45 points or I don't know. You know, that's the quality of the game, or like the smooth which the players play with each other, right? I don't necessarily want to watch a game where somebody takes 30 shots and hits 10 on them, so I don't like watching Harden that much or Westbrook that much, because it's not that – like the quality of their games are not that great. It's a lot of standing around and a lot of, you know – double step back three moves, which are good when they go in, but they're not like – they're shooting for like an efficiency number, not necessarily like to be great or whatever, if that makes sense.
Right. No. But anyway, I think that the Pacers rotation will be – starting five is the same as it was sans Vic and when Lamb was hurt, like probably the fourth game of the season, like you said. So Brogdon, Aaron Holiday, Warren, and the two centers. The second unit will be Sabonis, McConnell, Justin Holiday, McDermott, Sumner. But then Sabonis will not, you know, Sabonis probably will get subbed out of that group, and then Gogo will get a few minutes in both halves, or maybe even more than a few minutes in both halves before Turner comes back in. And, you know, maybe even on the back-to-back, right? Like I said, you know, maybe they cut Justin Holiday's minutes and play Alizé a little bit, and they like Brogdon for sure, especially because he's coming off a respiratory virus. Like, there's a chance they heavily monitor his minutes.
Do we know how bad it was? Like, do we know if it was asymptomatic or what happened?
Right. It hasn't been reported or anything like that. So there's even a chance that he has, like, very, like, impacted game shape. So maybe Nazmi Trelong sneaks in a few times. Like, they could play a lot of guys here. Basically, I think anyone is on the table. I think we're going to see 10 guys every game, and I think anyone could play any given night, honestly.
Yeah. All right, let's do another break real fast, and let's talk about – just go through the players who aren't playing and how it maybe affects the Pacers. All right, Tony. So I got a list of, I want to say, probably – 15 players that aren't playing. I mean, they include.
Wow, I think it's like eight. I don't think it's that much.
Well, so this list
we just covered for two segments, but
the list I have also includes guys who are like injured.
Yeah, I have just guys who have given the choice.
I say my list has like Oubre, Aldridge, Bojan on it.
Yeah, I don't have that list.
Okay, I mean we don't. So just really like of injury guys, Oubre that with meniscus injury played for the Suns. They're not going to
play. Pacers play the Suns. That's a big deal.
Okay, Aldridge also has season-ending shoulder injury. Also, I mean, won't play the Pacers most likely.
They play in a scrimmage.
Not in a game that matters.
The Pacers scrimmage the Blazers, the Spurs, and the Mavs in three games that do not matter at all. And I don't think we'll talk about them on
the show. I think the point is they're supposed to play teams they're not going to play in the regular season, right? In
scrimmage. Yes. Teams they won't. No, I think it was first round of the playoffs, but whatever. Yeah.
Or whatever. So Bojan also won't affect the Pacers. Yep. Wall. Don't
play the Jazz at all.
Wall could affect the Pacers, I guess, but I doubt it. I mean, who else?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, well, Kyrie and Durant were already hurt. So I wasn't really including them. These are players who have, I guess, Wall.
Sense the shutdown. I think that's it.
Yeah, right. So, like, the list of players I have who aren't playing, just real quick, is like Vic, DeAndre Jordan, Chandler, Willie Cauley-Stein, Avery Bradley, Cousins, I guess, but he already wasn't, Ariza, and Bertans.
Yep, that's what I have too. All right. Okay. I will go one at a time through mine. I think mine is alphabetized. Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right. First up, Trevor Ariza. Trevor Ariza is opted out for family reasons. He will not be a part of the Blazers team in the bubble. Regular season, there is no Pacers, Blazers. So they do scrimmage, like I said, with the Spurs and Aldridge. But do they care about these games at all? Like, how is that going to, like, you know, in preseason, how like Jakeenan Gant and Walt Lemon are getting minutes? Like, is that going to be what these scrimmages are like? I don't get the, are they even full games? I don't even know what they are yet.
I have no
idea. There's no impact. Like, Trevor Ariza not playing in that game, I think, means nothing.
I mean, I think that it would be like, it's going to remind me of like a regular season or a football preseason game, right? You play like, together and call it a day.
That I think the first quarter is the starting five, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be all for that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Ariza has no impact on the Pacers. I'm not sure if it matters.
Trevor Ariza, no impact. Number two, I think this one does have impact. Great. Oh, actually, I'm going to back up. I'm going to say this as a joke for every Western Conference player. If the Pacers beat the Blazers in the finals, Adam, Blazers might have a weak rotation without Trevor Ariza. Oh,
my gosh, you're the worst.
All right, player number two. This one does have an impact. Davis Bertans, the sweet shooting power forward for the Washington Wizards, is sitting out to avoid injury. Another Vic. In the Vic mold. I mean, obviously not the same level, but still, this one does impact the Pacers the Wizards probably not going to make the playoffs. Honestly, it's kind of a joke that they're invited, but they do play the Pacers in that second game. Like you just said, Wall's not going to be there. Even Bradley Beal has not yet officially committed, although I imagine since it's past July 1st that he'll be there. But Bertans not playing makes the already worst team in the bubble worse. And since the Pacers do play the Wizards in that second game, it makes that game all the easier. I mean, who's even going to play for power forward for the Wizards now?
Isn't Thomas Bryant on their team still?
Thomas Bryant will start center. IU legend.
Oh, he's going to play center? Okay.
Well, he started center for them.
Tony, I haven't watched basketball in 4 months.
You're allowed to be rusty. I understand. Thomas Bryant would be a power forward in like the 90s probably.
Wasn't he a power forward for IU? Am I wrong with that?
I don't even remember. So they'll have Rui. Rui will start for sure, and he'll play a lot. But I mean, maybe Troy Brown or – gosh, I don't even know who else could do it. Moritz Wagner might play. I don't know.
I don't know.
They are not going to have a good power forward rotation.
I mean, It impacts them. It kind of, I mean, it doesn't sense that they play the team, but it doesn't impact them in any way that actually
makes the Pacers' second game all the easier.
And it was already really easy.
First game before a back-to-back, I guess that is helpful.
It was already easy, so it just makes it easier.
It does. Number three, Avery Bradley, wing guard for the Los Angeles Lakers. He, I believe it's a family decision.
Yeah, his 6-year-old son has respiratory issues.
Yes, as well as the social justice thing. He was talking about that. He was pretty vocal in the player meetings and stuff with the league. Like Bertans, you know, the Wizards play the Pacers. Bradley plays the Lakers, who do play the Pacers in their fourth to last game. So there is some impact there in terms of ease of regular season, although Avery Bradley was probably the last guy in the Lakers rotation, and they're filling in that spot anyway. So
J.R. Smith going to be better than Avery Bradley probably.
I'm more bullish on Avery Bradley than most guys, but
Avery Bradley 3 years ago. Not that good. you still have like 2016-17 Avery Bradley stuff.
Yeah, so that the Pacers' odds of beating the Lakers in that game goes up by 1% because of Bradley's absence. So
actually, it might go down because if they play their bench, yeah, and players out there just chucking threes, he might.
But again, Adam, this one's more realistic than the Blazers. If the Pacers meet the Lakers in the finals, you know, not having Avery Bradley could be a very big deal.
Yeah, right. Let's move on to the next guy.
But yeah, so that is very minimal unless, you know, like if JR, they have Deion Waiters. Remember, the Lakers have Deion Waiters. No one remembers that. So if Deion is the guy who steps into the rotation, you know, that could help the Pacers if that guy just has an off night. And JR and Deion Waiters are not strangers to the off night. So we'll see.
Yes, they are not.
Next up, the $100 million man, according to Larry Bird himself, Willie Cauley-Stein, Dallas Mavericks center, will not be playing for the Mavs in this one. I don't know why for this one.
His child's going to be born this month, it sounds like.
Oh, great reason. Love it. And not that
I must have a better blog with you up because they have all the descriptions.
Mine just says who reported it. And sometimes other out. Whatever. It does right here. Cauley-Stein
is out in July.
Yep. Okay. So the Pale Mavs in a scrimmage, not a game that matters. So no impact basically.
Except Tony.
What?
If they beat the Mavs in the finals, it could be a big deal.
Except, thank you for stealing my bit. I wasn't even going to do it for that one. Yeah, they signed Trey Burke to fill him up, and I was the biggest Trey Burke fan ever after that Kansas-Michigan game and whatever tournament Trey Burke was in. So I hope Trey Burke does well for the Mavs. But, yeah, very minimal. Backup center for a team the Pacers don't play in a game. Doesn't mean much. Good for Willie Cauley-Stein. And Larry Bird will not get to see the $100 million man play a game.
All right.
Next up.
You want to do the next two together, the two Nets guys together?
The two Nets guys together.
Jordan.
Boogie is splitting them on my list. We'll do Boogie and then the two Nets guys. Although Boogie being on this list is stupid because he's not on a team. Boogie's agent apparently said he's not playing. So
it's like announcing something that
great
cared about anyways or nobody.
Yeah, great.
Answering the question that nobody asked. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't get that at all. I mean, I get that everybody was like, "Oh, he's the best available replacement player," blah blah blah. But like, he's not on a team. Who cares?
And he can't win the Lakers, right? Because they cut him.
So no one is signing Boogie, so there's no impact on the Pacers because he's not in the NBA. Okay. Yeah, we'll do the two Nets guys at the same time. That would be DeAndre Jordan. I mean, there's a ton of Nets guys out, but the two guys for sure who have opted out are Wilson Chandler and DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan is terrible at basketball. He doesn't try anymore. He just stands around and grabs rebounds. He's on the team because he's friends with the Stars. The Nets will literally be better because he's not playing, but the Nets don't play the Pacers. And Wilson Chandler is like their last rotation guy, so that does actually make them a little bit worse, but all in all, no, they don't play the Pacers, and they can't meet in the finals, Adam. So I don't know if we can say any impact here.
Yeah, I would say the thing about this list, I would say, is does it expand? Like next week, does it expand? Is it double? You know what I mean? Are we going to start seeing some more people pull out?
Yes, that is certainly. Before teams actually leave, I think we could just start seeing more guys trickle.
I also really wonder, considering how people are testing for the virus, how many players test positive when they come.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I might keep them out only for 2 to 4 weeks, but we'll see.
Right. But the Nets have a ton of guys out, some due to injury. Those two are opted out. Their team's going to be so weird down there. But the Pacers don't play them. So when other podcasts do this segment, they'll get to Victor Oladipo and go, here's the one that matters because it affects this, this, and this and could change the seeding. And we just talked about that. From a Pacers perspective, the Pacers care very little about their seeding, basically. So whatever. I'm sure other teams will now really like to play the Pacers in the first round, though. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think there'll be some lobbying to get them the first. Maybe
it'd be very interesting because no one wants to play the Bucks in the second round, but everybody wants to play the Pacers in the first round. So it's gonna be very interesting to see how all the Celtics, Sixers, and Heat try to handle getting seeding in these games.
Yeah, I mean, the Sixers, are they going to – could they try to tank the first game? Because
I just had a Sixers guy on, Adam, and he was talking about how badly the Sixers would like to be the sixth seed. So
You know, they're like the fourth highest odds to win the title.
They're very good. They're very good.
They're so inconsistent. They are so inconsistent.
Wildly inconsistent. Like, no, but they were literally a shot away from the finals last year. Like, they're still good.
Well, they were not probably going to beat.
So here's the thing. Like,
they were a shot away from being the team that
could. If they beat Celtics, Raptors, and make the conference finals, like, their season still looks like a success. But the Celtics are tough. And if the Sixers lose in the first round, that's going to look horrible and make them make a bunch of changes. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they try to do. They're probably my most interesting non-Pacers.
Well, and considering if the cap goes down and how much salary.
I know. They are in a very interesting spot.
I have a feeling they're going to have to waive the luxury tax or keep luxury tax up where it was, but then lower the cap, you know, in some way. I don't know.
One more player, and it is Thabo Sefolosha, a forward for the Houston Rockets. Sorry, he's a center for that Rockets team.
I don't even actually have him on my list, to be honest. I didn't see
it. He's the most recent one. He's the last guy who did it. Okay. I really wanted the Pacers to sign him. I think he would have been a great fit for our backup power forward for this team. I think Sefolosha is pretty good. He has opted not to play. He's old. I don't know if I've seen a good reason. He's just opting out. The Rockets, in his stead, are signing another guy. I have lobbied for the Pacers to sign Luke Mbah-Amute. So
That's a return, right? He played for them
years ago. 2017-18, yep. Two defensive-minded wing guys who are just basically let James Harden
go. He got hurt years ago, and he's a big part of their team, and that was the big deal.
He's good, man. Mbah-Amute's good.
He's a good defender, right? He can play kind of four.
Great defender.
Five, right? He guard
three. And he can make the open threes that James Harden creates for him. Yeah. He cannot make any other type of threes, but when James Harden makes them.
Well, they have that.
The Pacers play the Rockets in their second to last regular season game, although Sefolosha played 10 minutes per game and he was 36 years old. So the downgrade from him to Mbah-Amute, if Mbah-Amute even gets a rotation spot, maybe someone else gets it, is very small. So again, like Avery Bradley, very, very small impact on the Pacers. I think that they play a few of these teams that have guys out. I think Bertans is the one that helps them the most just because with that game being a back to back. Coasting by the Wizards is super nice, especially if you're trying to stay healthy. But, you know, some of these teams being a little worse is just a reality they're going to get to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is the Pacers are the worst. They get the most effective team by this list.
It's Depot, yes. The Pacers, if any other podcast does this exact type of segment, it is much more interesting to them.
The question I have is do more players pull out and then who gets hurt in this first eight games and how does that
affect? That is much more interesting. The team gets out of this unscathed is heroic. Thanks. So the rotation of this team, of the opting out squad is pretty good.
I mean,
Vic and Avery Bradley are a dual-headed monster on defense. I mean, they're not going to get a lot of great baskets there, but whatever. Ariza on the wing, Bertans and Colley Stein, and then a bench of, you know, we got Wilson Chandler and Sefolosha are decent. DeMarcus Cousins can do some stuff. I mean, you've got a nice eight-man rotation. That could be like 31 NBA.
Has Cousins played a game in like 3 years?
I think the last time he played was 17-18. No, he played in 18-19 for like a bit for the Warriors.
He was really good with his run with the Pelicans.
Awesome with the Pelicans, and then just it's so not sad. Worked out at all ever since.
He
was all-star in 17-18.
I know. He was –
played 30 games since. It sucks.
So before we go, who got screwed worse, Isaiah Thomas by injuries or DeMarcus Cousins? Cousins was at one point before getting traded to – the Pelicans looking at like a 5-year, $200 million contract.
Well, here's the thing. Boogie opted out of a big deal with the Pels and took a small deal with the Warriors. Remember that. He got offered 2 for $40 million and did not take it.
Yeah,
and Thomas never got offered anything close to 2 for $40 million.
Yeah, but Boogie was looking at $200 million if they stayed with the Kings.
I mean, IT was close, and then he didn't play because of his hip and got traded to a terrible fit for him.
Yeah. No, I'm just both.
So I think IT got screwed more personally.
Yeah, because Boogie's made a lot of money already. I'm pretty sure he had a $100 million contract before
right. The
most recent one, right? I mean,
yes.
Or at least in the high 80s, right? I'm sure he got a nice.
It was in 14, 15, yeah.
Yeah, probably 5 for $90 million.
So I will say that IT got screwed more.
Yeah, I would agree with you. IT only made like $25 million, where Boogie at least probably made $100 million in his career still.
Yeah, and IT was a two-time All-Star who needed to cash in. Boogie was a six-time All-Star. So
yeah.
Yes. Or four-time. Wow. It's very confusing when he's on multiple teams to see how many All-Stars he gets. Four-time All-Star. Still. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely IT.
Yeah. Anything else?
No. Because we talked about Vic a lot, we got to cover all the guys sitting out. I'm sure that list is dynamic, but we'll see. Because, you know, July 1st was supposed to be the date. I don't think it's going to be because, you know, like with Vic, teams can carry guys down there, and even Vic's coming with the team and just leave him inactive, right? So, I mean, they could still technically sign a replacement player for Lamb, but guess what? Lamb is also going to Orlando. So they can't sign a replacement player for any of those guys. They're just going to be, you know, inactives, chilling with the team, keeping the chemistry alive. So
you're not being bench warriors.
Yeah. So there's a chance that some guys that we don't know of yet are going to go down there and still not play. But
we'll see what fanny packs and shirts Vic's got.
That was a fun thing to watch earlier.
It was.
But see, the thing about Vic going is he gets to play 5-on-5 still. Like he gets to at least
ramp up. Yeah. So how does opt out work? Could he like theoretically just say he wants to play one day?
Technically, yeah.
Right. He could just be like, hey,
if he traveled to the team, he could. Yeah.
Like, you think if the team made it through the first round, he'd be like, actually, I want to play.
I guess technically, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it too.
I believe they play in the 20s. So we're like 3 weeks away from the first Pacers basketball action since March 11th.
Missed it. I'm excited for it.
Pretty crazy. Not sure what we're going to cover in the meantime. We got through all the fun topics, and Vic is playing, and
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. But, yeah, I mean, I'm usually used to saying, hey, we know next we're going to talk about this or that. No, I don't get to do that this time.
Well, we'll take it day by day, and people have to be surprised when they find out.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yep. So that's all for the Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers, me at FreeMadam5, Tony at TeastNBA. Everybody stay safe out there, and we will see you guys on Wednesday.